Well, we've been trying to discover a little bit about fellowship. And we began in the service this morning, as you all know, just discovering that that really is the Father's business. That is, that He has a purpose for us and set us aside to carry on the divine business. Just as the Son of God came into the world to be about the Father's business, He left His people here, and we're to be continuing the Father's business as well. And our Lord was in the temple. He was in Jerusalem in the temple area doing the Father's business. And in the book of Acts, we see the early church in Jerusalem, in and around the temple area. And they also are busy doing the Father's business. And we've been trying to discover what that business is. And it's pretty obvious in Acts chapter number 2. The Bible tells us there that they were doing the business of evangelism. They were being a witness. They were telling everyone in Jerusalem about Jesus and about His resurrection from the dead. They all knew who Jesus was, and they knew He died on that cross. But what they needed to know is that He has risen from the dead, demonstrating that He really is the Son of God, the Messiah, that He really died for our sins on the cross. And they were telling the good news about Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, He really is alive, and that He's living. And as they spread that news, the Spirit of God began to move, and people were pricked in their hearts and became convinced of their sin and judgment, and of that Christ really is who He said He is. And they repented. They turned from their sinful condition. They turned to Christ. And they believed the gospel, believed the truth about our Lord, rested their faith in Him, and they were saved. There was thousands of them that were saved. Evangelism. They were doing the business of evangelism. They are also doing the business of discipleship. And that is, we discovered that those who got saved, they were learning and they were growing. And we find the early church was doing that. They were baptizing those who believed, and then they were teaching them, and we tried to discover some of the things that they were teaching them, the business of discipleship. And then we also discovered, beginning in the service this morning, that they were busy doing the business of fellowship. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that is, in the teaching of the apostles, and then also in fellowship. And we discover that means that there's a oneness, there is a union or a oneness that is common among the believers. And that is that God, when He saved them, He brought them together and He made them one. That is, He connected them together not only with the apostles, but He also connected them with one another. There's a profound connection that's taking place here between these people. And we find that that connection, ladies and gentlemen, is not just, it's not just about a person, not even about Peter. That is, Peter was the leader. He was the one who preached on the day of Pentecost, that great message. But listen, this connection was not about their leader named Peter. It wasn't about Peter. It wasn't about a person. It wasn't about a preacher. And we discovered that it wasn't about a program. That is, their connection wasn't that they all liked the same preacher, Peter. They all liked the same program that was going on and that Peter and the apostles were doing. That's not what this fellowship was about. It wasn't even about their preferences. That is, the fellowship that they were experiencing was not even because they all liked the same things and had the same personal preferences. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the fellowship of the church. It's not about that. It's not about the preacher Peter. It's not about the program that they were doing. It's not about the preferences that they all had. But it was about a people that had been redeemed by the grace of God. And that is, that God had redeemed them, set them free from the sin and judgment that they were under. And the Spirit of God was living on the inside of them. That, as I've said to you in the service this morning and tried to preach to you, that this is a spiritual fellowship. That is, this is a fellowship, ladies and gentlemen, that is spiritual in nature. We discovered that in verse number 46 when the Bible says at the end of that verse that they were eating their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And that little phrase, their singleness of heart, demonstrates that this union, this connection, this fellowship that they had is about the heart. It's about what God did on the inside of them whenever He saved them. They're all redeemed by the same blood. And we discovered, ladies and gentlemen, they're indwelt by the same Spirit of God. And they are the ones who have the same future that they're looking forward to with anticipation. And they're all headed to the same home. That is, God melted their hearts together as one body. We discovered as like the one body in Christ, that they are connected together like the parts of your body are connected together. That is, connected to the head. And the head of the body, ladies and gentlemen, was not Peter. The head of the body is the Lord Jesus Himself. He's the head of the church. I tried to describe to you this fellowship in the service this morning as being spiritual, a spiritual fellowship. a connection that's happened because of the work of the Holy Spirit on the inside of their hearts. And because of the indwelling Spirit on the inside of them, they've got this singleness of heart. That's the reason why the Bible describes them over and over again as being in one accord. We see it in Acts 2:1. We see it in Acts 2:46. We see it back in chapter 1. We see it in chapter number 5. They are of one accord. They have a singleness of heart. That is, God has melted their hearts together. They're sharing the same life, the life of God living on the inside of them. And we tried to lay that out. That is the nature of our fellowship. You and I should understand that if we're going to fellowship right, if we're going to do the business of fellowship, then we have to understand what this fellowship is about. All of us fellows are in the same ship. That is, we're united together. We're connected together in a profound way. It is a spiritual fellowship. And you and I need to get a hold of that. We need to move along and consider this fellowship a little bit more tonight. And that's if we're going to be doing the business of the Father, then we better get our fellowship right. And it's not just because you and I like the same preacher, or not just because, ladies and gentlemen, that we like the same programs, and it's not just because the fact that we have the same preferences, but it's because God the Holy Spirit did a work on the inside of us, on the inside, that redeemed us from our sin, that gave us new life, eternal life, the life of God, the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. And so we are connected in that profound spiritual way from our hearts. There is a heart connection between the people of God. Because of the work of God on the inside, it is a spiritual fellowship. Now I want you to think with me for a few moments, and that is that this fellowship that we enjoy together is not only spiritual, but I want you to consider with me that it was also in the early New Testament days, and even today, it was also spatial. Now when I say spatial, I'm not saying special. I'm using the word spatial in the sense that we're talking about space, not outer space, but the people of God being in the same space. And that is it, even though this fellowship that they enjoyed was spiritual, that is, it was God the Holy Spirit connecting their hearts together, even because it was, ladies and gentlemen, they practiced commonly getting together in the same place or the same space. We see that, for example, in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Here's what the Bible says about them. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Did you see those last three words? They not only in one accord, connected together in heart, but the Bible says they were also in one place. They came together in the same place or in the same space. We see that back in chapter number 1 as well of the book of Acts, beginning of verse number 12. The Bible says, after Jesus ascended up to heaven, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, and where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. Listen to this. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And listen to me now. They're all in one accord and they're all in the same place. That is, they've gotten together in the same area. In Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 46, you see it again. Let me remind you, they continue daily with one accord. Where do they do it at? In the temple. The very temple where Jesus was at when he was 12 years old, and he said, I must be about my Father's business. There they are. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says they're all there, and they are of one accord in the temple. That is, they gather together, and there's this oneness of heart on the inside of them. They've been connected together in a spiritual kind of way, and they also now, because of that, are in the same place. They are gathering together in the temple area. The temple had these large courtyards, and these believers would gather together in these areas so that they might be able to be together in the same space or the same place. We see it again in chapter number 4 and verse number 23. In chapter 4, verse 23, it says, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. That is, after persecution broke out and Peter and John got intimidated and warned by the Jewish leaders, the Bible says they all gathered together again in the same place. In Acts 4:31, the Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They got to praying and God got to shaking the place. But what I want you to see is, ladies and gentlemen, it's a place where they're all assembled together. They are together in the same space. You see it again in chapter 5 and verse number 12, where the Bible says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among all the people. And listen to this, they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now, Solomon's porch is not the porch on Solomon's house. It's an area in the temple area called Solomon's porch. And there they are, these believers who've been connected together in heart, there they are gathered together in the same place or in the same space. So you and I should see this fellowship. That is, when the Bible talks about the fellowship of the early church, it's not only spiritual, but it's also spatial. In other words, they're gathering in the same place. Listen to me now. When God has connected your heart with somebody, you just want to be around them. Have you ever noticed that? Maybe there's somebody in your life that God has just connected you with. I mean, there's just a special connection you have with that person. And I'm going to tell you, you just want to be around them. You enjoy being around them. You look for every opportunity to be around them. And the reason why is because there is a heart connection that you have with that person. And even so, ladies and gentlemen, that's what's going on here. And that is that God has melted their hearts together in a profound way. That is that they are truly in a united fellowship. And because of that, they want to be together. That is, they desire to be together. On the inside of them, ladies and gentlemen, because of this fellowship, this connection, this heart connection they have with one another, they want to be together with each other. And listen to me now, that is typical of the church. And that is, those who've been born again, have the Spirit of God living on the inside of them, they want to get together and they want to fellowship together. That is, they want to get together so that they can just be connected one to another. They want to get together on a regular basis. Listen to me now, in the early church, in the book of Acts, it seems as though that they were getting together just about every day. You say, well, Pastor, I try to make at least one service a week. Listen, they were getting together just about every day. Listen to Acts 2:46 again. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. It looks like they were getting together just about every day in the temple. Can you imagine going to church every day? Gathering together with the believers on a daily basis. Now, some of you that are here, you might be all right with it, but some of you are a little repulsed right now at the idea of it. And just getting together with God's people. Listen to me now. If you ever get connected in, you'll know what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about, they wanted to get together, and they wanted to get together as much as they could. And they were getting together on a daily basis. Listen, modern day church life in America tries to find ways to meet less and less. But I want to tell you, the real church has a desire to meet more and more and more. We want to be together. We want to see each other. Listen to me now. I don't want to just see you on Facebook. I want to see your eyeballs. I want to smell your breath. I want to look at you and see you. I want to see your body language. I want to know you. Amen. That's how the church operates. And that is, there's a connection that wants to draw us together so that we can fellowship together. And I'm not trying to say you shouldn't fellowship on Facebook. If it's good fellowship, do it. If it's bad, get off of it and get away from it. But I want to tell you that God's people, listen, nothing else is a replacement for God's people being physically in one another's presence. Nothing will ever replace that. And that's what these believers were doing. Gathering together on a regular basis and on a daily basis. And they did several things when they gathered together. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't know what in the world we would do if we gathered together all the time. Well, I'll tell you what they did, just so you'll know. First of all, they baptized new believers. That is, people that were being saved, they baptized them, Acts 2:41. Not only did they baptize new believers, but they heard the Word of God being taught. The apostles were teaching the apostles' doctrine. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So when they got together, if somebody got saved, they got baptized, and then the apostles got to teaching. And they got to teaching what it was that Jesus had taught them. And they were teaching the Word of God, and everybody gathered around because they wanted to hear the Word of God. Now listen to me, they wanted to. You say, Pastor, if I have to go hear preaching, then I'll go and I hear preaching. If I have to go hear the lesson being taught, I'll go hear the lesson being taught. If I have to, no, you didn't have to. They wanted to. There's something on the inside of them that left them with a hunger for the Word of God. It's like, ladies and gentlemen, when dinner gets fixed and somebody said, well, if I have to eat, I guess I will. No, listen to me now. When dinner gets done, you're probably the first one at the table and you're ready to go. Somebody said, we're going to McDonald's, and about half of you said, let's go. And wherever it might be that you like to go, and you're ready to go eat. What I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live on the inside of you. He creates in you as a new creature a hunger for the Word of God. These folks wanted to get together with the apostles. They wanted to see new believers baptized. They wanted to hear the Word of God being taught. They wanted to share their lives with one another. The Bible tells us in Acts 2:42 and again in Acts 2:46, they ate their food together. That probably includes observing the Lord's Supper together, but also sharing their meals together. They got together and they ate together, and they observed the Lord's Supper together, remembering Jesus' death together as they observed the Lord's Supper. When they got together, according to Acts 2:42, they got to praying. They prayed together. Now listen, there's a whole lot of praying going on in the early church, and I'll preach on that here real soon. But I tell you, they're praying. Every time you turn around, these folks are getting together and they're praying. Now the reason why they're getting together and praying is because they want to pray. There's something on the inside of them called the Spirit of God that's motivating them to want to not only get along with God in prayer, but they're wanting to fellowship in prayer. They're wanting to get together and pray together. Now, you know what Jesus taught us. You remember well, and that is, he taught us in the Sermon on the Mount that whenever you pray, that you shouldn't be like the Pharisees, the hypocrites. And that is the play actors. That is, they just want to pray when everybody can hear them. That is, in the synagogues and on the street corners. And they'll pray so everybody hear them pray and brag on them and say what a spiritual giant they are. But that's the only reward they get, is just the bragging of people. And Jesus said, here's what you ought to do. You ought to enter into your secret closet. That is, in your private place, and you ought to get alone with God, and you ought to pray in private. And listen, if you get alone and pray in private and get a hold of God, God will reward you openly. He's telling us, ladies and gentlemen, that all of us ought to have a private time alone with God, just us and God. You ought to have that in your life. You ought to have a time where you get alone with God and spend some unrushed time with the Lord. You say, Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to find that time. Listen to me now. It's more important than watching your television. It's more important than looking at your phone, is getting alone with God and spending some time alone with Him. So the next time your heart is just saying, you know what, I'd like to get alone with God and pray, then just shut everything else off and get alone with God and spend some unrushed time alone with Him in prayer. All of us need that time alone with God. But when you get to studying about the early church, you'll find out that they not only had that time alone with God, but they also had that time of praying together as a church as well. They just got together and they prayed. Just spend some time alone with God in prayer as a church, just praying together. Listen, we have that time during our service. We have sometimes before the service. We have times of praying whenever we gather together in small groups. And Saturday night, I get up here about 9 o'clock in the sanctuary, just a few people that get together here, and we just pray for a little while. We don't do anything else except just pray. And what we're praying about is this service. That God will move in the Sunday morning service, that God will move in Sunday school and in discipleship training and the Sunday night service and a few special needs that come up, just getting alone with God and praying. Listen, the church ought to pray. That's what they did. I'll preach on that a little bit later on, but I just wanted to get you to know what they're going to do. If they're getting together every day in the temple, what are they doing? I tell you, they're baptizing new believers. They're hearing the Word of God being taught. They're sharing their lives with one another. They're eating their food together. They're observing the Lord's Supper together. They're praying. They're getting alone, and they are praying, spending time alone with God in prayer. I tell you, they're worshiping when they get together. But the Bible says right here in Acts chapter number 2 and verse 47 that they're praising God. That's what they're doing when they get together, ladies and gentlemen. They're just worshiping. You say, Pastor, how are they worshiping? I mean, did they have a great band going on and all the stuff that you have to have a real worship service? No, listen, what they had was the Spirit of God living on the inside of them. And if you've got the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, you can worship. And they got together and they just began to praise God. And no doubt they might have done some singing, ladies and gentlemen. And that is, they might have sung some of the Psalms or maybe a spiritual song that is talking about their experience in song. Or maybe they had some hymns that they had developed out of the doctrine that they were teaching. But they were singing and they were praising God and they were testifying. Did you know you can praise God without singing a song? You can just give Him the glory for what he's done in your life. No doubt there are people telling their story. Can you imagine the lame man that got healed running around the temple area? Can you imagine when it came time to worship, him just telling his story about how the Lord had healed him and worked in his life and so many others? Hey, why don't you just listen to this man named Stephen who got born again? He's probably telling his testimony about when God saved him. Listen, when you share your testimony and you tell folks about what Jesus done in your life, that's worship. They're praising God. That's what they're doing. They're gathering together not only to baptize new believers and hear the Word of God being taught and sharing their lives with one another and eating their food in the Lord's Supper and praying and worshiping, but they're also making important decisions. And that is in chapter number 1, they got together in Acts chapter number 1, they got together, and one of the things that they did is they made an important decision about who's going to be the 12th apostle. You remember Judas Iscariot, he's not around anymore. And so you can read about it in chapter 1, beginning of verse number 15, where they decided that they were gonna choose another apostle. And they did. They got together and they made that decision. In Acts chapter number 6, they got together and they chose out 7 men to serve the needs of the widows among them. They're making some important decisions. And listen to me now, they're gathering together and they're doing it together. That's fellowship. That is, they're fellowshipping in the same space. They're gathering together as one fellowship. Now listen to me, now that's still important today. I'm trying to describe to you what fellowship is. It's two fellows in the same ship. And that means that you and I are connected together in a spiritual way, but it also means that we're gathering together spatially in the same space. Whenever Paul was writing to the Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter number 10, we see him emphasizing that. Listen to what it says. Hebrews chapter number 10, beginning of verse number 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful to the promise. Now here's how we're going to hold fast, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says, let us consider one another. In other words, we need to pay careful attention to each other. The Bible says to provoke unto love and good works. Pay careful attention to each other for this purpose, and that is of provoking one another. Now, when I think of that word provoke, I always think of it in a negative light, don't you? And that's when I think of somebody provoking somebody, I think of them provoking them in a negative kind of way, making them upset and making them mad. But the Bible says here that you and I need to provoke one another, encourage one another. We need to push each other along in the area of love and good works. That is, pushing each other along. Provoking means you and I are pushing each other along. And we're doing that in the area of love and good works. That is, encouraging one another and pushing each other to keep on loving and keep on doing what is good and what is right. Now, here's how we do that. That's by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And that is, when the believers begin to assemble, don't you forsake that. That's what it's in the early church is gathering together. The Bible says that we need to gather, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some already is. In the early church, it's already happening. There are those who are gathering with them. That is, among the Hebrews, there were those who were gathering with them who apparently aren't gathering anymore. And the apostle is deeply concerned about it. And the reason why is because the reason why we gather is to exhort one another. That is, to encourage one another, to push each other along. And that is in our walk with God and our fellowship with each other. And then the Bible says so much the more. So much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, you and I need to be gathering not less and less, but more and more. Gathering as much as we can. And the reason why is because we need to encourage one another. Listen, evil days are upon us. Days of temptation and struggle are all around us. If there's one thing we need to encourage one another, to help each other, to push each other along. That's why we need to get together. And the reason why is because we need each other. Listen, you can't walk with God by yourself. We need each other. You're not going to be able to serve Him by yourself. We can't do it by ourselves. Listen, we all need one another. And that's the reason why we assemble together. That's why we keep on assembling together. That's why we need to get in the same space, is because we need each other so much. Listen, there's not a person in this room that can walk with God on your own. You say, well, Pastor, I can just walk with God however I want to. Me and God have this all worked out. No, here's how God worked it out. And there's a God connected you together. He hooked you in. He connected you together in the body of Christ, the church, in fellowship. And you are dependent upon one another. We are dependent on each other for our walk and our service and the direction of our life. not on your own. I used so many illustrations this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I'll do it again, and that is, it'd be like a part of your body. Just saying, you know what, I just want to be on my own. I don't need the rest of the body. I don't need anybody else to help me. And that is, I can occupy whatever space I want to occupy. You can choose any part of the body that you want to choose, but let's just choose the arm. And that is, the arm says, I don't need the rest of the body. I'll just go wherever I want to, and I just want to disconnect myself from the body. And so the other arm says, all right, I'll help you out, and that way I'll get all the attention. And so the other arm goes ahead and disconnects the other arm from the body and lays it off to the side. And there it is. There's your arm. Laying off to the side. Somebody walks up to your arm and says, what are you doing there? And the arm can't say anything. You know the reason why, don't you? Because it's disconnected from the body. When it was connected to the body, there was a response. There was a mouth that could speak. Somebody walks over to the arm and says, hey, how's everything looking today? And he said, I don't know. I can't see anything. When I was connected to the body, I could see. Because there's eyes in the body. Maybe somebody else comes along and said, did you hear that? And said, no, I didn't hear a thing. I can't hear anything. I used to be able to hear, but I can't anymore. I can't see anymore. Maybe somebody comes along and says, we're going somewhere. You want to go? And he says, I can't go anywhere. I can't go anywhere. I used to be able to go everywhere, but now I can't go anywhere because I'm not connected to the body that has legs that can go somewhere. Listen to me. You get disconnected from the body, and you're going to miss out on everything that you are supposed to be, supposed to do. So I don't need to gather together with those folks. It's like an arm laying off to the side, saying, I don't need the rest of the body. There's things you're not going to see. There's things you're not going to hear. There's places you're not going to get to that God wanted you to. There's things God wanted you to see that you're never going to see. There's things that God wanted you to hear that you're never going to hear. There's places in life that God wanted you to go that you're never going to get to. The reason why is because you disconnected yourself from the body. Ladies and gentlemen, this connection we have is not only spiritual, connected together as one heart, but it's spatial. It's being in the same place. That is being together. Being together, that is being together. If you want to use yourself as an arm, the arm, you being together where the eyes at, and where the ears are at, and where the feet are at, and where the rest of the body is at. Gather together so that you can become everything God wants you to be. You'll never be what God wants you to be. It's impossible to be what God wants us to be without being together, without doing it, serving, fellowshipping together. There's a lot of things the church needs to do together that the early church did together. That is, when we're baptizing, we need to do it together. When we're teaching, we need to be together. When we're eating the Lord's Supper, the church needs to do it together. Not an individual, that's a together kind of thing. And when we're praying, we need to gather to pray. When we're worshiping, we need to be together to worship. When we're making decisions, we need to make decisions together. And all of this is the Father's business. This is doing the Father's business, the church being together in the same space so that we can fellowship like we should. That's doing the Father's business. We've discovered this about this fellowship that's going on in the early church. We've discovered that it is spiritual. That is, it's these hearts that are connected together by the Holy Spirit. We've discovered that it is spatial. That is, they're gathering together in the same space or in the same place. And the reason why is because they're connected and they want to be together. They want to worship together. They want to pray together. They want to hear the Word of God being taught together. They want to share their lives together. They want to share their food with one another. Listen to this. We're going to see it in another message. They're even sharing their wealth with one another. That is, those who had need were being helped by those who had resources. They're doing everything together. And that's what fellowship is. That's what they're doing. They're gathering together for those purposes. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what it is the church does today. A church is not a church, ladies and gentlemen, because we all like the same teams or enjoy the same sports or have the same preferences, but it's because God connected our hearts, and listen to me now, we love one another and we want to be together, to worship together and serve together and live for God together. We want to gather. Nobody has to get us up and say, you've got to go to church. Listen to me now, if the Spirit of God ever comes to live on the inside of you, you're not going to have to be forced to go anymore. You'll want to. You'll want to be together. And you'll want to fellowship and be around the saints of God. Even those saints that irritate you just a little bit, you'll know, hey, God's using them to help me as well. He really is. Even those who mess up and aren't everything they ought to be, listen to me now, if they was everything they ought to be, then probably they wouldn't be a part of our church, because none of us are. But I tell you, God put us together so that we can become what we need to be together. An arm is never what it ought to be unless it's connected in with the rest of the body. An eye is never what it ought to be until it's connected to the rest of the body. So I don't know about you, but I want to be as connected as I can be. And that's not just in heart. It's not just spiritual. It is that to begin with, but it's also spatial. It's being together in the same place with you. We need that. That's the way the Lord put it together. You say, Pastor, I don't need that. Then listen to me now. Then you're just missing out on what the head, that is the head of the body, has told us. That we need to gather ourselves together so that we can worship and serve and fellowship together. And so this is spatial. Let me just mention a third thing. I've said to you this fellowship, that we're the Father's business is for us to fellowship. And if we're going to do that, then it's spiritual in nature. It's a spiritual fellowship. And I've said to you it's spatial. It's us gathering together in the same place. But I want you to also know that this fellowship is where we're fellowshipping. The early church was fellowshipping steadily as well. Steadily. What I mean by that is this, and that is that they kept on fellowshipping no matter what. There was nothing that could destroy this heart connection that they had. It is so profound, nothing can destroy it. Nothing. There's not anything, ladies and gentlemen, that can destroy this, what they have. Even when persecution breaks out, it doesn't destroy their fellowship. Instead, it strengthens it. When trials and difficulties come, it doesn't destroy their fellowship. It strengthens those who have one heart. The Bible tells us in Acts 2:42, and as you remember that verse very well, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That word continuing and the word steadfastly insinuates to us, ladies and gentlemen, they continued not only to hear the apostles' doctrine, but they continued to fellowship with the apostles and also with one another. We saw that again in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46 when the Bible says they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That word continuing is there as well. And that is that this is something they just continued to do. That is, they didn't stop. They were just fellowshipping together on a continuous basis. You see it back in chapter 1 and verse number 14 as well, where the Bible says as the church, they gathered together, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary the mother of Jesus, and with these brethren. They are continuing to gather together. They're continuing to fellowship together. They're continuing to pray together. And that word continuing insinuates that they kept doing it. That is, this is something that is steadily happening in their lives. These Jews that were there, that is, many of them who were converted, came from various places to observe Pentecost when they heard the gospel and they got saved. Acts chapter number 2, verses 5 through 11 gives us the description of all the various places that these folks came from. And there were many places from around the Roman Empire where the Jews lived that they traveled from to come to Jerusalem for Pentecost. And when they got there, they were converted, but instead of going home, they stayed right there in Jerusalem. And they stayed until persecution scattered them in Acts chapter number 8. They were there for months and months and months. Gather together in Jerusalem. And what I want you to see is that's what a church looks like when they are really fellowshipping together. They wouldn't go home. Think about it now for just a moment, okay? They just wouldn't go home. Now, when I say they wouldn't go home, I mean they didn't go home. That is, they stayed right there in Jerusalem. And they found places to stay, and they probably those who lived in the Jerusalem area opened up their homes, and they're meeting in their homes and living in their homes. And there are people like Barnabas and others, ladies and gentlemen, that are selling everything they have and their property and everything they have to take the money and help these folks that are staying there to be able to have food to eat and clothes to wear and the basic necessities of life. And they're not going home. They're not going to travel back home. I'm not talking about for an hour, but I'm talking about for months. They stayed right there in Jerusalem. They stayed together. Wouldn't that be something if we gathered together here at Eastern Gate and nobody wanted to go home? Now, I've had a few nights like that on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights where folks would gather together and they just didn't want to go home. Usually it's a small group that just hangs out for a little while. And listen, there's been times when it's been 10, 11 o'clock at night, and finally we decide it's time to go home. Folks are just fellowshipping, visiting, getting to know each other, sharing their lives with one another. And it's not just here, but it's outside the church as well. Y'all gather together at a restaurant or somewhere else and just fellowship and spend time together. Can you imagine being at the restaurant and nobody wanting to go home? Being at church, nobody wanting to go home. That's kind of the way it was here in the early church. They only got together. They not only were connected together, they not only went to the same place, but when they got to the same place, they didn't want to leave and go back home. And they didn't for months and months and months. These folks were so devoted to one another that they stayed together and wouldn't go home. We're so much different from that today, aren't we? Aren't we? You see, these believers had to be driven back to their homes by persecution. They wouldn't go. It's not until Acts chapter number 7, whenever Stephen is persecuted and Saul is wreaking havoc of the church, and I mean persecution is bearing down on all the believers in Jerusalem. Saul is entering into these homes and he's arresting them and throwing them into jail. It's not until persecution breaks out that they go back home. They had to be driven back to their homes by persecution. While today, we live in a culture where many professing believers can hardly wait to get home after only an hour or so. Gather together with God's people. There really is something not right about that. It's just not what we're reading about here. There's something that is missing on the inside of us. You say, well, Pastor, I'll tell you what it is. It's that song service tonight and that rascal that was up here leading the song. We just don't like the way he did it. That's what the problem is. And that piano player, she got a little bit wild over there. Did you hear her over there? Besides that, you don't tell enough stories and the preaching is boring and it's not like looking at a screen and watching one video after another. I mean, you got to stop and think a little bit, and that's not too easy to do, is it? I mean, it's just not as fun, it's not as entertaining, and it's not like running around the ball diamond or up and down the field and shooting baskets. Now that's fun. And that's what we want to do. We'll do that all day long. Listen to me now. We'll watch video after video that makes no sense, most of them. Most of them are absolutely empty of anything valuable. We'll watch that over and over again. Be drawn into it so much that when you try to get somebody's attention, you can hardly get it. We'll run up and down a court to get a little ball and a little basket all day long and not want to leave. But when God's people gather together to sing about the Lord Jesus, to hear the scriptures being read and taught, to fellowship one with another, there's an anticipation on the inside of us that it'll soon be over so we can go back home and watch our silly videos. There's something wrong with that. And what's wrong with it is in us. It's not the guy who led the music. It's not the wild piano playing. It's not how entertaining the Bible study or the message is. There's something in us not right. When you read about the early church, they were connected together in a profound fellowship in their hearts. Their hearts connected together so much so that they wanted to get together. They didn't have a church building to gather in, so they gathered in the temple area, same temple area where our Lord was at. And they got busy doing the Father's business. Not only were they evangelizing, not only were they discipling, but they were fellowshipping. They were just enjoying their connection. And they wouldn't stop for anything or anybody. They wouldn't quit when the Jewish leaders began to intimidate them and said, "You got to stop all of this. You don't have the permission, you don't have our permission to go into the temple area and gather like you're gathering, heal people like you're healing them, teach about the resurrection." They were being intimidated and persecuted by the early believers. And ladies and gentlemen, that did not divide them. It didn't. But it united them together. They got together and they prayed until the power of God began to move. When Ananias and Sapphira messed up, you remember them. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, ladies and gentlemen, husband and his wife, and boy, they really messed up. They're part of the church and they messed up. People are selling. Barnabas has sold everything that he has and he's giving it away so that everybody will have what they need in the early church. And Ananias and Sapphira decided they're going to do like Barnabas did. He got a lot of attention. And so they decide they're going to do it as well. And so they sell what they have and they said, "We're giving it all like Barnabas did," but they lied and they kept back part of it. And the Bible tells us that whenever Ananias and Sapphira came to where Peter was at, Peter had the kind of insight to know exactly what was going on. They were lying to the Holy Ghost, lying to God, and God struck them dead. First him and then her. And do you know that even that brought these folks together? Their fellowship was so strong, so real, so profound, that they not only survived the persecution from without, but they survived this corruption from within. And they're still together. There's something supernatural and powerful about the fellowship of those who are indwelt with the Spirit of God. They're staying together. And that's the kind of fellowship we're reading about here. You see, what is it that's wrong? Why is it that modern-day church life is not like that? And that is that we have to have a certain amount of entertainment value in order to be able to get anybody to come. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why is because of the fact that the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of the redeemed have been grieved and quenched by us. Grieving and quenching the Spirit of God with our own selfishness, our own self-centered lifestyle, our own unsurrendered lifestyle. And the answer and the key is for God's people who want to be a church to get surrendered to Him. Get everything laid on the altar, get everything surrendered to Him, everything grieves His Spirit, to get it all laid out there and surrendered to Him so the Spirit of God can fill us, ladies and gentlemen, so He can fill us. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost when the Bible says they were all with one accord in one place. The Spirit of God began to move and He filled them on the inside. And that's the desperate need. Listen, the one thing the church needs is a new birth experience. All of those, listen, number one is to be genuinely born again. There cannot be a connection if the Spirit of God is not living on the inside of you. If you've never been born again, the Spirit of God is not living on the inside of you. You can be in the church, but you'll never be in the church. That is, you'll never be connected in heart, not on the inside. But for those who've been born again, the greatest need is to be filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God filling and dominating our life from the inside out. We can never be what God wants us to be in a fellowship like God wants us to fellowship without the filling of the Spirit of God in our hearts individually and together corporately. That's the key. What unites us together is Him. It's Him. It's not Peter, the preacher. It's not the program of the church. It's not our personal preferences. It's Him. Dominating and filling our life from the inside out. Now listen, if He's dominating my life and He's dominating your life, that we have a profound connection. That's not going to be broken. By intimidation from the outside, or even corruption from the inside. Not to be broken. That's fellowship. Now when God's people are fellowshipping, guess what we're doing? We're doing the Father's business. That's what He intended us to be. A body of fellowship of believers, connected together spiritually, connected together spatially, gathering in the same space, connected together steadily, and that is staying together, staying connected together, no matter what, and whatever it takes. That's the Father's business. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your word and what You're saying to us and how You're working in us. God, I pray that You so operate upon our hearts, You so work in our hearts, God, that we can get everything surrendered to You and yielded to You and abandoned to You. God, I pray, Father, for those that are lost, that You draw them to Yourself and work powerfully in their lives. God, they'd see their desperate need for Christ tonight. And I pray for Your people, God, we as a church, God, that You'd so operate in our hearts that, Father, Lord, we deal with everything that needs to be dealt with, get everything surrendered, needs to be surrendered, yield everything that needs to be yielded. God, that we'll put You first place, number one, God, in our each one of our individual hearts so that we can be the kind of people You want us to be, Lord, a real fellowship, connected together. Lord, thank You for what You've done, and God, how You've been working and how You've been speaking to us. Would You bless us as only You can, and we'll give You the praise and the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.